Today is October 18th and it's Tuesday night, Hoshana Rabbah in the Sukkah at Shari Tfilah. We're learning Mishnah, we're in Bava Kamma. We're beginning the second perek, second chapter. So the Mishnah reads as follows. I'll read it slowly. Ketzad haregel mu'edit l'shaber b'derech hilucha. Translation. In what fashion or how is the regel forewarned to break by way of its walking? Habema mu'edit lahalech kedarka ul'shaber. The animal is forewarned to walk in its way and to break. Okay? Missed something, David?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
The translation here is just different than what you're saying.
I'm being very literal. I'm being very literal.
Okay.
Purposely. Haita miva'etet. It was kicking. Right? The root is bet ayin tet. O shayu tsurot nitazim mitachat ragleya. Or there were pebbles kicked up, sprayed up from under its feet. Vishi brought the kilim, and she broke the vessels, the utensils. Mishalim chatzi nezek. Pay half payment. Darsa al hakli ushvarato. Stepped on the vessel and broke it. Venafal alakli and fell on the vessel. Acher on a different vessel. Ushvaro and broke it. Al rishon mishalem nezek shalem. On the first one, pay full payment. Vala haron on the other one, the second one, mishalem chatzi nezek, half payment. Hatarnagolim muadim lahalech kedarkan ushaber. The fowl are forewarned to walk like their way and to break. Hayad dalil kashub raglav. There was a string tied to its legs. Oshaya mahades, or it was jumping. Umishaber tekelim and broke the vessels. Mishalem chatzi nezek. Pay half payment. I'm pretty sure that didn't make too much sense.
Mm-mm. Correct.
It didn't make any sense.
So let's go back again. And we'll divide it into sections.
Uh-huh.
From the beginning. Ketzad haregel mu'edet l'shaber b'derech hilucha. How is the regel forewarned to break in the way of its walking? So everyone sees each word there, what each word means? So I want to ask a question that I asked on the sheet that'll be helpful to us, the sheet that I give out. And the first question says, where have we already seen the phrase haregel mu'edit l'shaber b'derech hilucha? That whole phrase, barring the first word of the Mishnah, we've said it already. Not in this Mishnah, but someplace else.
Wasn't it in the last?
Not in one of the last ones?
Well, we only studied four Mishnayot together. Yeah. That's been one of the four.
So an earlier one.
But an earlier one. Yeah, and you just read from?
I read from Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet.
Indeed so. The Mishnah we learned last week had the exact same words in it. So let's go back to that Mishnah. So it's Mishnah Dalet, the fourth Mishnah of the previous Perek. And there, right, my lines are different than your lines. In my printing, it is the third line. Perhaps in yours, it's the fourth line or the fifth line. What line is this, Jen?
It's the fifth line. It's the last line on the page.
Okay. And there it says, Haregel mu'edit l'shaber b'derech hilucha. Again, it means that the feet are forewarned to break in the way that they walk. Now, what was the context in the previous Mishnah? So the context was, you have to go back now to the first words of last week's Mishnah, Mishnah Dalet, and it said, Hamisha Tamin, V'Hamisha Muadin. There are five Tams and five Muadim. So we said Muad is forewarned, And the rule was anything that's considered to be forewarned. What's the rule as far as nafkamina? What do you pay in halakha for anything that's forewarned?
You pay the full.
Right.
Pay the full because
right.
you should have taken.
Right.
Taken precautions.
Exactly. Exactly. Should have known. Whereas at the tam is when it's not forewarned. In other words, its damage is unexpected, and therefore you only have to pay if it happens.
Half.
Chatzi. So the Mishnah said there are five cases in which you have to pay only half, and there are five cases in which you have to pay full, and then it went and listed them. And the words we just read in the middle of that Mishnah, Mishnah Dalet, that said that Haregel Mu'edit Lishaber B'derech Hilucha, that feet are forewarned to break in the way that they walk. In other words, normally when animals walk, they break things.
Trot on things.
Mm-hmm. Right? And that's forewarned. You know when an animal walks, it breaks things. It doesn't look where it's going. And that's a list that appears under the five Muadim or the five Tamim. But no, I'm asking, which one? Is it a Tam or a Muad? That's like asking, is 4 or 4 or is 4 or 3?
Yeah.
The answer is simple.
It's Tam.
Muadim.
Right?
No, it's Muad.
No, it's Muad.
It says, Haregel Muadit.
Yeah.
Haregel Muadit. That's the feminine Muad. So I asked, Haregel Muadit, is that Muad or is that Tam?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like I'm saying, is blonde hair blonde or green?
Okay.
Yeah.
It's green.
Yeah.
No.
It's okay. Predictable.
Muaddin is the word for forewarned.
Yes, muad.
Muad.
Muad means forewarned. And mu'edit is the feminine, and muadim is the plural. The word is muad.
And the tamin, how do we translate it?
What word do we use?
Tame.
Right, tam sounds like tame. It basically means something like tame, not forewarned, not expected to damage.
And not anything that you could predict damage, expect damage from.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Unforewarned.
Unforewarned.
Yeah.
So, let's look at the second question I asked. According to what we had learned earlier, in other words, in that Mishnah, Mishnah Dalet of chapter 1, in which reshut is Haregel Mu'edit Leshaber B'derech Hilucha? In other words, when we say that feet are forewarned to break in the normal way of walking, which means they have to pay how much again?
Have to pay the full.
Right, Nezek Shalem. Where is that? In which reshut? Remember, there's reshut the Rabim and there's reshut the Yachid. And then, if you talk about reshut the Yachid, there's the reshut of the damager and the reshut of the damagee. The Mazik and the Nizak. So we said, where does this happen? That if the animal walks and breaks things, the owner has to pay Nezek Shalem. Where is that? And who's reshut? And which
Wouldn't
reshut?
It be in the reshut Nazik? Because in a public situation, some sort of common area, you know that there's these animals there, and if you're not paying attention, then
you
should have expected
that
it.
Is that the frost right? center?
Yes.
I apologize. Twice business phones were ringing as I was leaving.
Uh-huh.
I even brought lined house shoes. I got
well
I'm all ready.
Well, I'm wearing four layers. Okay, we're in the first Mishnah of the second chapter.
Thank you.
Reshut of the Nazik, meaning the
damage-e.
The damage-e.
His property. Their property.
The injured parties on his
courtyard or whatever. Courtyard.
In other words, the animal, the damage, trespassed.
Right.
Yeah.
And it went into someone else's field, and there, while walking, it broke things. That's when the animal has to pay, or I should say the owner has to pay, Nezek Shalem.
The animal down in the air.
You'd think an animal walking would, trample crops and things, but not break kelim.
It's all the same thing. If it steps on a...
Oh, you mean like it could be farm kelim? It could be tools.
Could be anything.
It could be tools.
Anything. Whether he tramples food or bananas or my vase.
Remember Nezek when Shalem. The horses came out of the joining property and stepped on our blackberries?
Yes.
stepped on your BlackBerry in the sense of your cell phone or your
BlackBerry
plants.
We had BlackBerries back then.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, and there were horses on the other side
I would say if it stepped on your BlackBerries, not so bad. If it stepped on your BlackBerry, that's a big loss.
That's a big hit. That's actually, in this case, the BlackBerries grew
cheap.
Better. They grew better after that.
They did.
So
he left a little.
So now to remember.
No, it's just really tired.
All this goes back to the Torah. Right?
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
All this goes back to the Torah. Uh-huh. Because the verses we learned, when it talked about the regel, it was that it went be'er b'sadeh acher. It went in grades in another field. Right? In another field. Sadeh acher. So the Torah says a different field, a different place. And it's going to be cold. They can go inside if they want.
Yeah, they're going to get really
they
cold.
They don't have to suffer like we. Now, don't you have any obligation to put a fence around your property so nobody will come to your
Truth is, I don't know a lot about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope we'll get to it as we continue our study. Right. Yeah. I really don't know.
You're one step ahead of us.
Half a step. Half a step. Okay, so anyway, from that verse, right, which was in chapter 22, Perek Chafbet of Shmot, the verse that talked about Shein and Regel, it was all about Be'er B'Sadeh Acher, went and grazed in another field.
Yes.
So it's not the field of the owner of the animal, it's someone else's field, the animal is trespassing, and that's the foundation of the Tashlum of Nezek Shalem, that you have to pay full because of the trespassing. You shouldn't have been there. Whereas, like Jan said, if it happened in Reshut HaRabim, right, the public domain, the law is that Shein V'Regel Pitorim. You're exempt from Shein V'Regel in Reshut HaRabim. The very fact that the Torah limits it to or speaks it in Reshut HaYechid, in which Reshut HaYechid of the Nizak, the person that was damaged, you know from there, or it seems pretty logical, we'll talk about it a little bit more today, that if it was in the Reshut HaRabim, there would be no obligation to pay, not Shalem and not Chatzi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all this is kind of a review from last week. We can also look at question 3, which we answered already. We'll just say that to complete the picture. What is the practical halachic nafkamina, right, the practical difference, other than that which is enunciated in our Mishnah, of the ruling that haregel mo'edet l'shaber b'derech hilucha? And the answer is that you have to pay nesek shalem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In other words, it says haregel mo'edet, right, it's mu'ad, which means nesek shalem. It's forewarned. Anything that's forewarned is nesek shalem. So all that brings us back to our Mishnah. So being that we already learned at the close of the last chapter that regel is mu'ad, when it breaks things in its normal course of walking, in Reshut HaNizak, and you have to pay for that Nezek Shalem, we know all that already.
Uh-huh.
So then we read our Mishnah and we say, wait a second. Let's read our Mishnah again. How? In what sense? What are the conditions that the regel is mu'edit l'shaber, to break, while it's walking? And the answer is, habeima mu'edit l'halech kedarka u'l'shaber. That the animal is mu'edit to walk in its way and to break. That's an answer to the question.
Is it in its way or in its custom?
It's in its normal way.
Yeah.
Now, my problem is, that didn't answer the question.
No.
If you look closely, it's really a restatement of the question with a different order of words.
Yeah.
Right? It said haregel at the beginning, and now it says beima. Then it said mu'edit, and the second statement says mu'edit. And it said lahalech, and there it says hilucha. And it said kadarka, and there it said b'derech. Then it says u'l'shaber, and there it said l'shaber. It's the exact same words in a different form.
A rose is a rose.
Yes.
It's almost as saying, how is this possible? It is because it is. It's not answering a question.
So it doesn't seem to make too much sense, and it doesn't make too much sense on two levels. One, the Mishnah itself is repeating itself. But number two, it's repeating the previous Mishnah.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a problem. Let's read on, and perhaps we'll have a partial answer as we read on. Haita miva'etet. It was kicking.
The behema or the regel?
Well, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
The regel is the behema.
It's part of the behema.
Now, before we even read even a little bit further, I'm going to ask the same type of question that I asked a few minutes ago. Where have we seen this before?
Kicking?
Haita miva'edit. Where have we seen kicking?
Did I know it's on that one? Is it in the Torah?
No, it's not in the Torah. Uh-huh.
Chapter 2.
We've seen kicking already. It's right there in the last Mishnah, the
kicking.
Fourth
yeah,
Mishnah. The fourth
Mishnah four.
Of the first chapter. And that Mishnah began with the heading Hamisha Tamin v'Hamisha Muadin, right? There are five Tamim and five Muadin. Habema Eina Muedit, it's not Muedit, Lo Ligach, not to gore, V'lo Ligof, and not to push with its body, V'lo Lishoch, and not to bite, V'lo Lirbot, and not to lie down on something and break it, V'lo Livot, and not to kick.
And here it says Moedet, yes, to Livot.
No, wait a second, we'll get to that. But so we talked about kicking already, and we learned that animals are not Mu'adim for kicking. It's a rare thing. Animals walk, and if they break things when they walk, oh, they're responsible for Nezek Shalem. But if animal kicks, that's unexpected. And that's only going to be chatzi nezek. Right?
Because, you don't, I mean, all animals walk, well, most animals walk.
Fish don't walk.
Yeah, as I said, but not most of them aren't on land. And they all eat in one way or another.
Right.
But these other activities are not the standard everyday behavior. They're
exactly.
Generally a response to some sort
anger.
Of a threat or an anger or a something.
Right, so if it kicks, it's considered to be a tam. It was not forewarned, it's tame. And if it kicks, that's unexpected.
Okay.
Now, we learned in the past, let's just see if we remember, kicking is a tolada of which of?
Regel?
No.
No. Shan.
No.
No.
Was what's it, left?
Karen.
Yeah. Right? Just
kicking,
like, right, kicking is a tolada.
Comes from horns.
Because it's fighting,
no,
probably,
no.
Or attacking.
Because it's out of the ordinary. It's when the animal gets angry and gets upset, does something you wouldn't expect.
Okay.
If the animal, again, the principle is it does what you should have expected, like walking and eating, it's nezek shalem. If it does unexpected things, like goring, or kicking, or lying down on something and breaking it, or biting, or pushing with its body, right? Those are the toladot of Karen. And for that, you only have to pay chatzi nezek. It's tam as far as all those things. It's tam for kicking, right?
Okay.
It's not forewarned for kicking. Now, by the way, just to remember all the details, we just said that Shane and Karen have to pay nezek shalem, and where did we say they have to pay? In their Shut and Izak.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Karen, and we said now the kicking is a part of Karen, where is that?
Well, that would be in Reshut HaRabim if it's
that's in Reshut HaRabim.
Not expected.
Reshut HaRabim, it's in Reshut HaRabim. The Torah doesn't say any particular Reshut, like in Shein V'Regel, the Torah says Sadeh Acher in someone else's field, but as far as Shura, Karen, it doesn't say that. Right, so it's in Reshut HaRabim. And of course, if it's in Reshut HaRabim, then it's in all the more so that it's also in Reshut HaNizak, Reshut
HaYechid.
It's in all the more so. If my animal does something unexpected in the public domain, I have to pay. Or the more so, if it trespassed and did it, do I have to pay?
Okay.
So we remember all that. So let's go back now to our Mishnah today.
Okay.
Let's go back, like we just did questions 5 and 6. So now, looking at our Mishnah, Haita Miveetit, and then it said something else that I won't read now, I'll go back to. It said, Mishalem Chatzinezek, right? If it kicked, it has to pay Chatzinezek.
Because okay. It's not mm-hmm. Moedet.
Right. So now, our difficulty with our Mishnah has been increased, because everything we've read already.
We've already read.
Not only did the first line we read already in a previous Mishnah, not only did the second line just repeat the first line, and then this matter of kicking we've also learned already.
Okay. So is it an editor's problem here?
So it looks like one thing we could say is that this chapter and the previous chapter are brought together from different collections, sources. Probably different sources, right? Mm-hmm. That's probably at least what's going on. Yes.
But it has a few little extras here.
Right, we didn't get to the one matter
there's
here.
A few little extras here, plus we're going to bring in the Tanagolim. So
yeah,
one
right.
could say, because we're bringing in another category of animals, that maybe we're kind of re-summarizing.
Okay, I would just prefer to say that this Mishnah doesn't seem to know the previous Mishnah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right. It seems
because
to
it
be.
Looks like if this includes more, the editor would have kept that mm-hmm. and dropped the
well,
other.
Well, but that one also included more. Each right. one covered the mm-hmm. same common denominator and covered other material. Mm-hmm. And this is another example of the fact that when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi edited the Mishnah, he didn't edit it in the sense that we think of editing a book.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. He used materials and he often brought them as they are and
they were
dropped
related
them into the,
bring them together.
Dropped them into the Mishnah
but
without...
Wouldn't pick.
Without getting rid of redundancies.
Right.
Maybe not compiled.
He just
compiled,
said
okay.
people
yeah.
memorize yeah. different parts. Mm-hmm. What do we call these memorizing guys?
The Tanaim.
I thought Tanaim, yeah. but Tanaim...
That's two meanings. The word has two meanings.
Okay.
But
so two Tanaim brought these two things and included both.
Sounds like politics to me.
Or one Tanaim both.
But,
one Tanaim both.
I was actually going to say the opposite. That's a great deal of anava, of modesty, that Rabbi Nasi doesn't
both.
Feel he has the permission to really manipulate and mold his sources. He brings them more or less as he found them.
He's basically rescuing material
right.
before
right.
it disappears.
Before it disappears.
Right. Now, of course, I have to mention that what I'm saying is certainly not what the Gemara holds. Mm-hmm. The Gemara looks for meaning in every single phrase.
Sure.
And concerning these also, it finds meaning. Mm-hmm. But as far as the simple, straightforward understanding, that's what I am presenting. Okay.
Yeah,
so now let's go on to the questions.
Running feet.
Yeah, we're going on to the first matter in this Mishnah that we have not seen before. That's new to us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's this matter of Tzorot. So I'll read it again. It had said, Haita Miveetit, it was kicking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the new matter, O Shayut Tzorot Nitazim Mitahat Ragleya Vishibrata Kelim Mishalem Chatzinezek. Or that there were pebbles shooting up from under her feet, vishibrat the kelim, and she broke the kelim.
Mm-hmm. I have one
kli. So again,
I have one kli. You have kelim.
I have kelim. Yeah.
I have keli.
Okay.
Yeah.
I trust the Albeck recension.
You have the Albeck.
Yeah, it's usually very
do
reliable. So anyway, I just have to tell you that. We see here the principle of Tzorot Chatzinezek. The Tzorot Pei Chatzinezek. Tzorot is when the animal's walking. Or to bring an example everyone knows today, you're on 635 and you're behind the truck. The little pebble
yep.
shoots
hits
up.
Your windshield.
And you get a little nick in your windshield, right? Mm. Everyone suffered through that. Mm. That's Tzorot.
So it's kind of ancillary damage.
Yes. What yes. we call it is
nice.
Koach. It's not the animal itself, it's kocho shela of the animal. It's the power of the
power.
Animal, but not the animal itself.
How did you call it?
Koach.
Koach.
Ah, koach.
Yeah, koach.
Power. I thought it was a new word, interesting
so.
Word.
No, it's a,
but this, and then it says, after et
right.
keli mishalem,
v'shibrat kelim, and it broke the vessel. In other words, the pebble shot up from under the legs of the animal,
and it hit
your vase, and it broke your vase.
So the animal really didn't.
But Michelle,
no.
Sorry.
No, ask.
I was just trying to.
Michelle Chatzinezek pays half damage.
Oh, Michelle means pays?
Yeah.
Pays half damage. Shalom whole?
No.
In fact,
no.
We use the same thing for paying a bill.
Well, it is. Mishalem, yeah. you're making whole the debt.
Making whole the account. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Making peace by settling
it.
Yeah. So this is strange. Why is it strange?
Why is it strange?
Because the tzorot is a natural thing.
Right.
For that.
Right. What category, what av would we consider this? Everyone together? It's Shem. Not. No. No.
I'm bad with this category.
Regular, of course, regular.
What's the difference between Shen and Regel?
Shen is eating.
But it's but what is the difference between Shen and Regel? They are both habitual.
Right. You're right. You're right.
Yeah. That's what
you're right.
I mean.
They are. Yeah. And they have the same laws. But one is when the animal, we saw the word hana'a, when the animal damages by way of its normal hana'a, its normal enjoyment.
The Shen is the hana'a. And the Regel is just
No, expected behavior is Regel.
Okay, that's right.
Shane is specifically hana'a, when the animal is doing its normal needs from which it gets benefit. That's the word, benefit.
Yeah, it's to get benefit.
Benefit.
Okay, yeah.
And it damages during its act of getting benefit. But you're right, the laws are the same of Shane and Regel, usually. So in any case, this is clearly Regel. But despite the fact that it's Regel, and animals are mu'adim, as far as Regel goes, right? Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that it's Regel, despite the fact that it's mu'ad, it's only chatzinezek.
Why is that? Right.
What? That's a very good question.
It's just like kicking. Well, it's not just like kicking.
No, kicking.
Kicking is a different
story. Is abnormal. Kicking, we said, is keren.
Yeah, but
and that's chatzinezek because it's not muad, it's tam.
Yeah, but you don't expect it to, just in its walking, to kick up a pebble and to do damage.
So I'm not sure.
Well, sometimes it would walk and it wouldn't kick up the pebble.
Yeah,
or it wouldn't hit anything.
Or it wouldn't hit your face.
It's not a given. That it's going
but it's certainly more
so here
common.
You've combined in this, if I understood correctly, I'm not sure I did, you've combined in this sentence ending with half damage, we've combined kicking and
pebbles.
The pebbles, which doesn't, which is what confuses us both, right?
Right, it's right. I'm claiming
the aggressive behavior and the normal behavior.
Right, I'm claiming that the common denominator is the payment, that it's chatzinezek. Have payment, but they're really two different categories.
Right.
Yep, right. Agreed.
The kicking is a category of Karen, and the reason that only has to pay half is because it's tam. It's not expected. Mm-hmm. Whereas tsurot is regel, and
because
regel
it's not
normally
so directly,
pays.
Maybe because it's not so directly
right.
caused.
Right, regel normally direct. Pays full, but because this is not direct, it's only co-op.
It's an indirect.
It has to pay. And that's a new principle we haven't learned yet.
Cool.
It's a new principle. So what I was going to say 5 minutes ago is that the first Masechet I ever learned in depth was Baba Kama. And we didn't learn the first perek, we learned the third perek. HaManiach Takad Breshut Rabim. But the matter of Tzorot appears throughout this Masechet. Tzorot Chatzinezek. So when I was learning this in Yeshiva, you could have woken me up in the middle of the night. The first thing I would have said was Tzorot Chatzinezek. And when I started learning this again to teach it, everything comes flooding back. So anyway, it's koach, like we said, but it's not 100% clear why it should be chatzinezek. Why shouldn't it be nezek shleim? I understand, it's koach, it's not the animal. Who says that koach only pays chatzinezek? From the Torah, we only know that tam pays chatzinezek, whereas this is regel, which is always mu'ad, it should be nezek shalem. So I'll just show you what the Gemara says about that on the sheet that I prepared. So it's source C. And this is a braita.
Dalil.
Source C from Baba Kama. Yud Zayin Amud Bet 17b, which is the Gemara on Amud Bet.
No.
It's
so
C.
It's D.
Oh. It's C.
It's
he's
C.
sea.
He's going down from the sea.
Oh, oh, right. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
And this is the Gemara on our Mishnah. And it says as follows, Tana Rabbanan, we know that's our Braita, and I'm skipping a lot there, three dots. Sumchus Omer, Sumchus is a very, very early Tana. That's his name. We don't call him Rebbe Sumchus, we just call him Sumchus. Again, he was coming out of our ears that year that I learned Bav Kama. He comes up again and again and again. Sumchus Omer Tzurot Mishalem Nezek Shalem. Nezek Shalem. Amar Rava Bishlama Sumchus Kesavar Kocho Kigufo Dami. Translation. It sits well that Sumchus holds Kocho is like Gufo. Like Kigufo Dami means like its body, it's like. So Sumchus simply holds that if it damages with its koach, it's like damaging with its body. And the Torah never made a distinction. And Sumchus is saying the most straightforward thing. The Torah never said anything, but you break things with your regular, you pay full, so you pay full. That's the most straightforward thing, whereas our Mishnah is a chidush. Our Mishnah that says chatzin ezek, that's a chidush. So now we're going to read Rava again from the beginning. Amar Rava, Bishloma Sumchus Kesavar Kocho Kegufo Dami Ela Rabbanan, but rather the rabbis.
They mean the Mishnah?
The Mishnah, which is the rabbis, the majority opinion, that's accepted. How do you get your arms around that? What does it mean, Chatzin Ezek, for something that's not Karen? Ela Rabbanan, I'm in the second line, second word. Ela Rabbanan, I Kegufo Dami Kule Nezek by Lishalem. Vilav kegufo dami, hatsi nezek nami lo mishalem. Translation: I kegufo dami, if it's like its body, it's like kulo nezek. All of the damage by lishalem, it needs to pay 100%. Like Sumchus said, right? By means needs, and vilav kegufo dami, and if it's not like its body, it's like. Then chatzi nezek nami lo lishalem. Then half nezek also shouldn't pay. But if the animal didn't do it, then why should you pay at all? And the animal did it, then you should pay full. Why this chatzi nezek thing? And Rava is stumped. Rava is a fourth generation Amora in Bavel. He's stumped. And then it says, Hadar amar Rava, which means again said Rava, which would indicate that first he was quiet, he thought about it, perhaps this is another day, another year, or perhaps it's the same sitting, but it's not his immediate reaction to what he said. First he said, I don't know. Hadar amar Rava, leolam kegufo dami. Leolam means really. Oh. Really kegufo dami. Really, it's like its body, it's like. Vechatzi nezik tzorot. And the fact that chatzi nezek is what Sorot pays, hilchata gemirila. And you probably want to know what hilchata gemirila means. Literally, hilchata means it's halacha, gemiri, from the language of Gemara, which means learn, la, it's halacha, we learned it. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean?
Tradition.
Right, tradition.
Ah!
How did you know? You've learned this before.
No. I did, but it's been 15 years. I don't remember it.
That's exactly. So
that's obviously what it means. It's good, you know. It's what they made it up. It's what they learned. It's just tradition.
And
it's
a compromise.
It's a compromise.
It's
a compromise. It's because they're saying, if we think about how the world works with damages things, I mean, sometimes they're so removed, it's so indirect, it's too far away.
It's too far away.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's so close, that's close enough.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of drawing a clear line and saying this is close and that's not, they're saying there's a part in the middle that, it's half.
Makes sense.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
But there's no scriptural basis for it. Right? In a certain sense, there's no... What everything you said is rational, right? Mm-hmm. But there's no strict logic for it. It's not strict logic. It's a compromise, like you said.
It's a compromise. Right.
Since it's not strict logic, all we can say is Hilchata Gemirila.
Source base.
It's not source base.
Well, it's like
it's tradition.
He says, well, the way you're thinking is, well, if it was caused by his body, then it was full. It was, and if it wasn't caused by his body, it shouldn't be anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we all, it was indirect, and so, like you said, you compromise.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, it's, there's no...
Yeah, I mean,
I don't remember the Bible talking about pebbles.
Yeah, it's just, as though it's sort of saying there's a difference between the animal kicking up the pebble and doing damage, and just
the wind blowing
it up and it causes damage. Mm-hmm. Where you know it's just
it's an indirect
the force of nature.
It's indirect action.
Mm-hmm. It's in the first...
But it's one level removed from the animal itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The first section of the law book on damages is this topic. It's on causation, it's called causation.
Mm-hmm.
There's what they call causation in fact. Mm-hmm. So you can make up the extreme example. Well, I actually had the accident because I remembered something and went back in my house. And because if I hadn't been those 30 seconds later, I wouldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
somehow that... And it was my wife called me back in to get this. It's her fault. She caused... I figured it out now. She caused this accident. Oh, I'm on... Oh, don't tell Barb... Tell Barb not to listen to this. So it's... You clearly can state accurately...
Uh-huh.
It was caused in fact. Actually, really, there was a causal connection...
Yes.
...between those events.
Yes.
But it's not what, in our legal language, we call proximate cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not close enough. Proximate cause, meaning close enough, close cause.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you would say, no, she's not responsible for... There was, in fact, a cause. Like a lot of things were a cause of it.
Yeah, that's right.
But it wasn't close enough. So here, instead of trying to draw that line of, say, close enough or not close enough, this law is taking... a segment that's in the middle. It's pretty close and not too far, and so half.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Let's see the next source, which continues the same line of reasoning.
Right.
Agreed. Yeah, sounds good.
I brought this one from a Masechet Sukkah in D. Tractate Sukkah, page 34a, and we should recognize it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Not from the Mishnah, but from the Gemara, but it's matters we discussed. Abba Shaul Omer. Abishul is also an early Tana, like Sumpus actually. Very interesting, Abishul Omer Arve, right? The word in the Torah for the willow of the four species is Arve Nachal.
Right.
And it's in the plural, willows of the brook. So Abishul Omer Arve Shtayim. It's two, it's not one. And now you would think that's why we have two in our lulav, two aravot, right?
Yes.
That's not what he says. He says, echat leluvav, echat lemikdash. One for the four species, for the lulav, and one for the mikdash. In other words, this is the source of what we talked about, that we walk around the... Well, actually, it wasn't clear. That we take aravot, we call them hoshanot, remember? From where do we take them in Jerusalem? From what little section of the city? For 3 points. Where do we get the aravot, according to the Mishnah?
Oh, that was,
It's the stream down in the valley.
Yeah.
For 4 points. 5 points. Motza. Right? So, the Mishnah said that we take the aravot from Motza and we put them against the altar, remember?
All right. Mm-hmm.
And then we walk around, perhaps with them, perhaps with the lulav. It wasn't clear for the Mishnah, but the custom today is, which takes place another 7 or 8 hours, right, that we're going to take the aravot and beat them on the ground.
Sure.
This morning. Very soon. So anyway, says Abba Shaul, the custom of using the arava separate from the lulav is scripturally based from the word arve in the plural.
Okay.
But the Rabbanan don't hold like that. The Rabbanan lemikdash menalahu. But the Rabbanan for the mikdash from where to them. Now, we already know that the Rabbanan say that the plural of arve is to tell you to take two in your lulav. So therefore, how does he know that you take also aravot for the mikdash? What's his source for that? Le mikdash menalahu. For the mikdash, what's their source? And the answer is hilchata gemiri lahu.
Because that's the way we do it.
Because that's the way we do it. It's a tradition. Right. But the reason I brought this is for the next line. Da'amar Rabbi Asiyamar Rabbi Yochanan. And that first letter, that Dalet, Di'amar, is very important, connecting between what we're about to read and what we just read. Di, because, or as said Rabbi Asi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Esen Nitiot, which is a law that I'm not going to get, I don't even remember what it is, and Arava, that's what we're talking about, and Nisuch HaMayim, right, the pouring of the water on the Mizbeach, Halacha LeMoshe Misinai. It's a halakha to Moshe Sinai. So the reason I brought this is to show that Gemara equates two different phrases. Halakha Gemirila is the same thing as halakha le Moshe Sinai.
So it's not tradition, but it's really authoritative.
It's an ancient tradition.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
well, you would want to say Sinai. That because, yeah. You know, if you're going to excuse something just because it's tradition, somebody's going to say, well, I'll do it another way.
Right.
You say, well, Moses did it this way.
Actually.
That's right.
Okay.
So, I would just like to tell you that Halakha LeMoshe MiSinai literally seems to say Halakha LeMoshe MiSinai. Does it really mean that the Amoraim understood that this goes back to Sinai?
No.
Probably looks like it from the words, but I'll just mention that one of the commentators on the Rambam, one of the commentators on the Rambam, the Megillat Esther, if I remember correctly, that's the name of the commentator, Megillat Esther, he says that Halakha LeMoshe MiSinai means that it goes back at least to the Beit Din HaGadol, to the Sanhedrin in the time of...
Because they got it from Moses.
He doesn't say that.
He doesn't say where they got it
at the time of Moshe or
no,
the
no,
time?
No. Beit Din HaGadol refers to the Sanhedrin. So he seems to be saying that they can use the phrase Halakha LeMoshe MiSinai to anything that has authority. The authority of the Sanhedrin. Okay?
Well, and but is it clear from the way the words are used that when it says
Halakha Hilchata Gemiri La Lahu
Gemiri La and then damar.
It is clear
that the duh isn't saying some things are based on what we were taught. Like some things are from the Moshe Masinai. Some other things. In other words, if they meant them to be the same, why are they using different words?
I think simply because one is Hebrew and one is Aramaic. And Rashi and all the commentators say that what does it mean Hilchata Gemirila? It means Halakha LeMoshe MiSinai.
Okay.
And I think this is
that's understood.
One of the sources.
That is what that's understood so means.
That's clearly what Rashi holds in all the commentators. I was just looking for a Gemara that says it, and not just Rashi. And I think this Gemara makes it pretty clear. Again, the Gemara says, how do the Rabbanan... the Gemara says, the Rabbanan hold that Arava is Hilchata Gemirila, as Rav Asi, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, said that Arava is Halakha LeMoshe MiSinai, and it seems to be indeed equating them, and that is how all the commentators understand it. Okay.
I thought there were some limited number, like 3 or 4 items that were considered to have that distinction.
Yeah, the Rambam points out that there's only a very limited number of these things. And here you have them. This is the source you're thinking of. This is the source. Esenetiyot and Aravani Suchamayim. I think there are a few more.
Okay.
There are a few more. But this is it.
Okay, so it's not kind of a catch-all for everything
that you want to
authoritative that we don't have a scriptural basis for.
It is, but this is all there is.
There only... Oh, I see. Yeah. Everything else is covered. Yeah.
Everything else we can find a scriptural source for. Again, I don't think the Rambam, I don't think it's exactly right. There's only 3 or 4. It might be 5 or 6, but it is a limited amount. I don't remember how many. Okay. And you have to understand, there are other Braitot that list other things as Halakha LeMoshe MiSinai, But there'll be other brightot that will disagree.
Ah, okay.
No.
Oh.
For example, let's think of our case. Rember Sumchus, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sumchus right. has to disagree with this halacha l'moshmi sinai because he says nezek shalem. Mm-hmm. Ah, how could they be a machloket in halacha l'moshmi sinai? That's the machloket. Is there such a thing here? Is there not such a thing? But then you say, wait a second, either there's a tradition or there isn't. So you see, it's not so simple. Mm-hmm. Some have the tradition and some don't.
For this specific item, but that as a right. category exists.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in this particular matter, there's clearly a machloket. Is there such a halacha l'moshmi sinai or is there not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So we're back to our Mishnah. We are now reading from where it says Darsa al Hakli Ushvarato. Darsa al Hakli Ushvarato. I will try and translate it in a very, very neutral fashion, not to give things away.
We have here Rashi Barto.
Darsa al Hakli.
Okay, I have it different. It stepped on a kli and broke it. V'nafal al kli aher ushvaro, and fell on another kli and broke it. Al rishon mishalem nezek shalem, and the first pays full payment. V'al acharon mishalem chatzi nezek, and on the second one, pay half. So we have to figure out the scenario. What actually happened?
Oh,
well, wait a minute. When the first one broke, it broke the second one.
What broke the second one?
The first vessel.
Right. The yeah. first one flew in the air and then fell on the second one.
Mm-hmm.
And you can figure that out from the gender of the verbs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first verb is darsa. It's in the feminine because mm-hmm. behema is feminine.
But then it says v'nafal
is masculine because that refers to the breakage and not to the animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a koach again.
So this right. is again, it seems to be in a certain sense, tzorot, right?
Right.
Instead of shooting up a pebble, it shot up a piece of glass that came from the vase that it stepped on and broke.
No, pebble is the second kli.
Right. Well, that's what's happening.
Okay.
Here.
Okay. Right. Right. Yeah.
But the darsa kli is not pebble.
Right. So the first kli that it stepped on, that's regular, and that's nezek shalem.
Right.
The other kli that it broke by way of the breakage
so
of the first kli, that's
tzorot,
and that's chatzi nezek. So that's right. exactly what it says. Al rishon mishalem nezek shalem, the one it stepped on nezek shalem.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Bal acharon, that it broke through the piece of glass that it that shot up from its feet, mishalem chatzi nezek.
Yeah.
And that's pretty clear. That's just an example of sorot.
Ha'acharon. What's it mean, actually?
The last one.
Oh.
The last.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does this limit the indirect responsibility for indirect damages to one step?
Ooh, the Gemara talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
So Amiram is bringing up the case of koach kocho. And of course, you can think of all different good examples, right?
So one of these Rube Goldberg kind of
yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
What are you saying?
What happens then, like a chain reaction?
Ah, mm-hmm. like dominoes.
Because this just says one step you have to pay, but maybe that's all the only steps you have to go.
Maybe a quarter, an eighth.
That's what Gemara brings up. Gemara brings that up. An S, and it ends without an answer.
Ah, Eliyahu.
It says, is there such a thing as a fourth damage or is there not? And it doesn't come to an answer there. But so that's a whole page of Gemara on Koach Kocho. In the questions, we talked about that actually. Oh, so I see question 10 is must have mistaken it. Under what scenario? Okay, so that's misworded. I don't know. So we can skip that. I'll have to figure out what I meant.
Okay.
11.
Do you have time to prepare all that?
I don't know. What is the subject of the verbs nafal and shavaro? We talked about that
right.
is masculine, so mm-hmm. it's the The shvarim.
It's some piece of the kli.
Yeah.
Some sort of a shard.
And then I asked the easy question, why al acharon shalem chatzin ezek? Why does it pay on the last one chatzin ezek? We already said, because that's sorot.
Like sorot.
That's sorot. Now look at this question 13. It's the question we always have to ask ourselves again and again and again. In which reshut did this matter of the Rishon and the Acharon take place? Where was it?
Reshut Yechid.
In Reshut Yechid.
Yeah.
Okay, very good.
It has to be.
Right? Because
Yechid.
Because Reshut Avim, what's your business to leave private domain?
And she means Reshut Nizak.
Nizak, okay.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? Because since it's, as far as the Nezek Shalem, that's from stepping on it, that's clearly only in Reshut Nizak, and not in Reshut the Rabim. And the same thing goes for Tzorot. And here's something I didn't say earlier, and I should have said, that since Tzorot is a anomaly, but it's anomaly within Regel, it's only in Reshut Yechid. And if it happened on 635,
too bad.
It's too bad.
Oh.
Right? I should have said that earlier. Since it's part of Regel, and we said that in Reshut Rabim, Regel doesn't pay because you know those things happen. Animals step on things. They step
so
on your kelim.
Or you can have indirect result.
And you don't have to pay anything.
Of it.
Right? It's only if the animal trespassed on your property. And while it was grazing and eating your vegetables, for which it has to pay Nizek Shalem, it also kicked up rocks that broke your window. For that, the trespass has to pay only Chatzin Nizek.
So the trucker guy who has that sign, stay back because we won't be responsible for breaking your windshield, he's
right.
Jewish. He was Jewish.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, it turns out.
He doesn't need the sign. Yeah. He's just being nice. Yeah.
Those things happen, and if you're going to drive on the highway, you... Mm-hmm.
You keep distance.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
You have seen signs.
Don't
like that?
Ride closely on the bumper of a gravel truck.
Yeah. I thought you invented it now.
No,
okay. So that was question 13.
I don't know
13.
If it works or not.
Yeah, signs are a problem. They don't always.
And now we get to question 14 and 15 and 16, which means we have to read the last part of the Mishnah. So this is about the Tarnagolim. The fowl at the end of the Mishnah,
which is legal to raise in Dallas.
Hatanagolim mu'adin lahalech kedarkan ul shaber. Fowl are forewarned to walk like their custom and to break. And this just seems to be telling us that everything we've learned about behemot is true about roosters as well. Everything about regel, that animals are forewarned to walk and do damage in Reshuta Yechid, right? It's also true for chickens. So if your chickens get into my yard and they step on my oranges or bananas,
Rembrandt,
okay, they have to pay Nizek Shalem.
Because their nails can scratch them.
Yes.
But now for the interesting part.
That's why I put Rembrandt.
For the Chidush. Haya Dlil Kashur Biraglav. There was a string attached or tied to its feet. This chicken that got away from your barn, Ilana, and got into my fish
Rembrandt.
Tank. It had a string tied to it or connected, attached to its raglaim, to its feet. Oshaya Mahades. Or it was hopping. Shaberet kelim, and it broke the vessels. Mishalem chatzi nezek.
Well, because you've already done something to restrain it.
You're making some assumptions, but it's interesting.
I'd make a different assumption. If it had a spring
hopping?
Attached to it, then it was a hunting bird. It was a large bird, which could do real damage.
Okay.
Oh, so it's got those
things you tie to their feet.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to sort of restrain them a little bit once they
fly
off, but so they don't get carried away. But
it could
cause more damage.
I was thinking of a hawk,
like a falcon.
Yeah. But I don't think so.
I think they don't want him to wander very far because they don't want to. Let's assume it's a female chicken. They don't want to look for the eggs very far.
Can we assume it's a female chicken?
Do we know where this happened?
Because what do we know about these chickens?
It doesn't say anything. But again, when it said at the beginning that the fowl are muadim to walk and to break, that's in the Rishut HaNizak. Mm-hmm. That's in...
Right.
That's trespassing. And perhaps, I would assume, the rest of it is also only about Rishut HaNizak. Now, we have to remember something that we learned in the previous chapter. And where did I put that on the sheet?
That fair?
That's in question 15. Question 15. Which of the two cases of the Tarnagolim seem not to be in accord with something we learned in a Braita in our class on the first Mishnah of the Masechet? So we're going to go back to the first Mishnah. I have my sheet, the first sheet.
Oh, the first sheet, okay.
So on the first Mishnah. And at the bottom of the page there, we brought a Braita that was pretty important. Where was that Braita? Oh, let me think. All right. Right. No, it's not the bottom of the page. The middle of the page. C. Babylon and Talmud, tractate Baba Kama, pages 2b to 3a. So we're looking at that Braita. That passage is a good six lines long. We're looking at the end. And I am right over here.
The end of the fourth line.
Mm-hmm. The end of the fourth line.
Tolda.
You want to look with me?
Tolda.
It says, Tolda de regel maihi. Right. Right? Corollaries of regel, what are they? Hizika begufa derech hilucha. If it damaged with its body by way of its walking. Bisara derech hilucha. With its hair. By way of it walked. In other words, if its hair got entangled,
Rapunzel.
Same thing. But what is regel? It's when the body of the animal, its normal walking, breaks things. So it doesn't matter the legs, doesn't matter the hair. Bishiluf sha'aleya. If I remember correctly, the shiluf is the saddle. The saddle got caught in something.
Is it shiluf or shalif?
Shalif, excuse me. Biprumbi bifiha, the bit that's in its mouth. The bit got caught in something. Bezug shebet sabara, the bell on its neck. Okay? All of these things are considered regular. So with that information...
We're lost.
Oh, the string.
The string.
We're lost, right,
because the string should be just like a bell
like
or a bit.
Or the hair.
Or the hair.
Just like the
which means it should pay how much? How much should
full.
It pay?
Full.
Oh. Whereas our Mishnah says it pays only half.
Yeah, why is it only half?
So now...
Your chicken gets to my yard, destroys things, and I get only
wait
half.
Wait a minute, I
so
I
figure
get
it out now.
It's
figure
not
it out.
That they've... Take back what I said.
Yeah.
About trying to... There's been an attempt to restrain this this fowl. This fowl's gotten entangled in something.
Right.
That's what
right.
it is, yeah.
If the owner had put the string there, the owner really would have to pay Nezek Shalem. But rather, it got entangled in the string, so it's kind of similar to what we've learned about?
It's kind of similar to the secondary koach.
Secondary.
Okay.
Right. So let's read the Gemara that says that. The Gemara that says that is in the sheet that I brought for today. Chapter 2.
The bottom one.
The bottom one. Chapter 2, Mishnah 1. The very bottom is E. And it says, Babylon and Talmud, tractate Baba Kama, page 19b. Hatarnagolim adim, lahalich kedarkan ushaber v'chule. That's our Mishnah. That the fowl are forewarned to walk in their way and to break, etc.
Yeah.
Amar Rav Huna, lo shanu ela shenikshar me'alav. We didn't learn it except when it got tied by itself. Right, but caught up by itself. Now, there's the rope got there by itself. Aval kashru adam.
Sharo.
Right. Aval kashru adam. But if a man tied it there, chayav. Obviously. If you tied it to your chicken, and then your chicken got away into my yard, well, then just like the chicken, if it steps on things and breaks them, has to pay nesek shalem. So if the string gets caught in things, because the string is just like an extension of the chicken, because you put it there. Just like the bit in the mouth of a shore, right, or the saddle. So we're talking about, apparently, chickens always get entangled to things. And then it's like tzorot. It's not the animal itself, it's koach. And certainly the owner of the animal, he didn't know that the string would get caught on his chicken. It's true that he should watch out for his chickens. So that if the chicken does damage, you have to pay. But the chicken didn't do damage. The string did.
And Maharis?
I'm not clear.
Is it again?
What happened?
Maharis?
We didn't get to that.
Okay. The chicken flew over.
Without a string?
Without the string. And there
the
was
string
some string.
Was in the yard?
In the yard.
Maybe got entangled in somewhere. Yeah. And the chicken got
is walking around and it stepped into a pile of string and it got caught on it.
Or maybe like
so
your clothesline.
So actually, shouldn't they at all? Because the owner was negligent. The owner of the string.
Exactly.
The
Gemara talks about that. The Gemara says, this is when the string is hefker. But if the string belongs to someone, then actually...
The stringer should pay.
The stringer. And what category of nezik would that be?
It's a boar.
A boar. Very good.
Yes.
It's like a boar.
It's like a
Because remember we learned that toladot boar av nova sakino. Your rocks and your knife. If you put your knife in a place it shouldn't be, and someone trips over it, right, have to pay nezek shalem. So if this string was left out by someone who owns it, so you're right, the stringer might have to pay. The stringer, very good.
We have a stringer.
I learned it from Agnon when he talks about I went to the etroger.
Yeah.
So
and I have the book for you.
Oh, good.
I photocopied it. So let's just finish up with the last unturned stone in the Mishnah, which is Mahades.
The and last here it's written Mahares.
Oh, it is, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense in some way, too.
Oh, I just remembered one more thing about the string, before we go to the Mahades. About the string, I want to read source C. Is it B? I'm sorry, it's B. Source B. And this is Rosh in our Mishnah, Babylon and Talmud, Tractate Baba Kama, page 17a. So Rashi on the Mishnah, on the words Dalil Kashuba Raglo, a string that's caught in its feet or tied to its feet, says Rashi, Kol Davar Nikshar Beregil Hatarnagol Kari Dalil. Anything that's caught in the feet of the fowl is called Dalil. And then he says three more words, Ve'ita Garsi Dli. And there are those who textualize, I don't have a good word in English, who have a different text, that it's not Dalil, it's Dali. Dalil, Lamed, Yud, without the Lamed at the end.
A true bowl.
Which means, what does Dli mean?
A pail.
A bucket.
Bucket.
So why do I think that's important? Because if it's not a string but a bucket, then it's clear.
That
it got entangled. Right? It's not that the owner tied a bucket to it. It just got entangled.
And
so that girsa proves what the Gemara says. That it's me'alav. It's by itself. But if the owner tied it, it's a whole different can. A whole different bucket.
A whole different bucket. A whole different bucket.
Can of buckets.
Right. So with that, we can go now and finish the Mishnah.
Mahades, okay. Mahades.
The matter of Mahades... there's an argument. Some say it means jumping, and some say it means pecking in the ground. So
that's a big difference.
That's a big difference.
Right, so if the animal was walking, right, the tarnagol was walking in my yard, right, in the Reshut HaNizak, and it damaged my stuff in my yard, then it's, of course, Nezek Shalem. But if it got entangled in a string, that's Turot, and the string damages my stuff, that's Hatzi Nezek. So now, why is the jumping up and down only chatzi nezek?
I'm not
well,
clear.
It's not a
good question. But you have to say...
And if it's mehares, it's even worse.
Okay, what do you have to say? What do we have to say to explain why it's only chatzi nezek?
Because it's not his
well,
nature.
Well, it would have to be not read, though.
It's not its nature.
Yeah, it's not expected.
And what I said to myself when I read it, wait a
but
second, don't Tarnagolim always jump up and down? I don't know. But to be consistent with the law and to be consistent with the rest of the Mishnah, remember, we've always had this Mishnah pairing Sorot with unexpected damage. We had kicking and Sorot. And now we have this Mahades and the string. And again, it's a combination of something that it's tam. Mm-hmm. In other words, we don't expect it to kick. We don't right. expect it to jump up and down and break things. We expect it to walk, mm-hmm. yes, but not to jump up and down and break things. Mm-hmm. So the jumping up and down is a category of... It's not regular. Karen, right? Mm-hmm. And we said Karen is always chatzi nezik unless mm-hmm. it's been shown to do it three times. Then it becomes a wad, mm-hmm. and it's chatzi nezik, and that's probably what we have to.
But if you,
well, seen, but if you I've translate, roosters do that though. I mean, because they get very aggressive.
Yes.
And they will really hop. I mean, they'll get hopping on something.
But then that's still Karen because
Karen.
It's
that's what I mean.
It's
it
a
is
response
Karen.
To something. It's not a natural
something
behavior.
That's got it.
But right. But if you translate this as pecking.
Then it's hard to understand.
Then it's hard to understand because pecking is part would be regal. It's part of something they always do.
Something they always do.
Yeah, I don't know. The Rambam says it means pecking.
It'll be shame. It'll be shame.
Rambam says.
Now I know that it's not the way we have studied it, but to me, if your if my neighbor's animal comes to my yard and destroys things, why should I not be compensated totally? It's my yard, my things.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very unjust. It's your
animal.
It's
a balance of the how much is the person responsible for. In other words, they're responsible to protect you from their animal doing the things that they should be protecting you from.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the animal's acting in a normal way, they are supposed to protect you and you are going to be paid fully.
But if
it does something extraordinary, then the person didn't. What you know, they aren't supposed to have to protect you from. That's how much burden do you put on somebody to control their animal? There's that. That's part of the sort of societal analysis, you might say. How much burden do you put on the owner?
When the animal does something that nobody had any reason to suspect that it would have
done. And if I want to be totally immune, I should build a fence.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so. Yeah. I'm moving. I mentioned that we're going.
Yeah.
Fence.
Yeah.
That's right.
That fence occupies me.
Building fences then, though, was sort of
I want
they didn't have barbed wire then.
I want to ask a kind of trick question.
Mm-hmm.
Just to close things off. It's totally clear the answer to the question, but we might not have thought of it. Mm-hmm. We said that this matter of Mahades, just like the matter of Miva'etet, of kicking, mm-hmm. is of course only chatzi nezek in reshut ha-nizak. In reshut ha-rabim, it doesn't pay at all.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, are there any circumstances under which kicking, miva'etet, or mahades, jumping up and down, would actually be nezek shalem?
If one was warned about the behavior of his animal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. If he had an animal,
you knew that there was
a nature
of mahades. Done it three times.
Right. Mm-hmm. If we had witnesses that this is a kicking animal and happened three times with witnesses, then the fourth time you'd have to pay nezek shalem.
Mm-hmm. And that really makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Why three times?
I know. That seems like that's a...
It's a lot.
A lot.
Three times the chazakah.
Well, but I was thinking about dogs that attack children.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
do we
yes.
need for the dog to attack children three times before we do something?
Yeah.
I hope not.
I hope so too. Yeah.
Well, you're thinking about
Karen.
Danger to life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. We're talking about
just
property damage
just
here.
Property
yeah.
damage.
Yeah. What I always like is where some dog is really, you know, not a little dog, is barking at you and looks real thinking that, oh, don't worry, he doesn't bite.
Yeah,
right.
I don't want to be number one.
Yeah, thank you. I'd rather not find out.
But let's also remember the necessity of these animals to normal everyday life.
Yeah.
The halakha doesn't want to create a situation in which you can't make a living.
Right.
And you need, you're sure.
You need the animals.
Absolutely.
And no, and with and they still didn't coop chicken in this little mm-hmm. coop where they couldn't
mm-hmm.
move.
Mm-mm.
I guess not.
Yeah. No.
Thank God.
No. Yeah.
Each of the three times has to be witnessed by two witnesses.
Yeah, that's so.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. If you had somebody else's mm-hmm. chickens flying over into your yard all the time.
Well, the fourth
you're not
time.
Keen about that.
If there's no witnesses, you can't take the case to court.
right?
Or I don't know much about this. Again, I'm only half a step ahead of everyone.
Snow. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're getting ready.
But I think you need to. I think you need two witnesses.
Yeah. So an area where the chickens
three
can move.
Episodes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the fourth time,
get outside of
there actually is a controversy, as I recall, about how many times.
If it's two or three. Two or three. The halakha is that it's three.
They're going to collect.
You're probably right.
The Gemara's got a dispute.
It's
interesting.
Okay, so Moedim L'Simcha, Chag
Sameach. Thank you.
You know, you're thinking about these things that where one thing causes something else.
Oh, you're over there.